Bill, you're a finalist today for the 2008 Emerald Awards for your work on carbon sequestration. What does it mean to you being nominated in this way and being chosen as a finalist for the Emerald Award?
Well, I think it's particularly satisfying because the Emerald Awards are for environmental achievements, and carbon capture and storage has always been sort of dubious on the fence because of whether it was did address environmental problems or whether it was a way to prolong the use of fossil fuels. And in my heart, I've always thought that, you know, the development of fossil fuels, particularly oil sands, had to address environmental issues. And I'm pleased that carbon capture and storage is becoming recognized as a potential way to address one of the environmental issues with oil sands.
How much of an impact could it have, sequestering the carbon?
Well, it remains to be seen, but there are two impacts it has. Of course, it reduces the CO2 emissions to the atmosphere, which is affects global warming, and as we all know, that's a critical issue currently globally. And the second thing it does is it actually makes oil products more expensive to purchase because it's not an insignificant cost to use carbon capture and storage to reduce CO2 emissions. So it allows renewables to be more competitive. And so effectively, use of this technology as well as addressing environmental issues directly and address them indirectly in the sense that it makes the other fuels that don't have as much environmental impact more competitive.
Now, it's taken a long time to do the research and development on that, but it seems over this last year the whole idea of carbon sequestration has really taken off with the carbon capture. Why is that?
You know, that's a good question, because it's how do you get the attention of the decision makers in terms of the people who can actually make this technology attractive? And because it basically it's as I said before, it's an expensive technology. And I think what's happened is that the world didn't realize the actual magnitude of the CO2 problem. And when they started to look initially at solutions, conservation efficiency obviously is number one. But then when you look at all the places you can conserve and become more efficient, you still don't address the levels of reduction that you need. And the other one is, of course, switching to alternative fuels. And there, the question is, how fast can you actually ramp these capacity up in terms of producing these alternative fuels, that of course takes a span of 50 to 100 years, because at the same time energy demands are increasing. So there's really no solution to stop using fossil fuels abruptly. It has to be a gradual thing, and I think with carbon capture and storage it fits very well along with the use of fossil fuels, and I think in the end, of course, they're not fossil fuels are not infinite. That we're going to have to rely on renewables and other alternatives. So I think, in that case, carbon capture storage is a bridging technology, to my mind.
Well, this is something that you started in Alberta. Where is it now in terms of the world's interest?
Well, it's very it's important to the world. Even those that haven't signed the Kyoto Accord, such as Australia and the U.S., are using carbon capture and storage as one of their major platforms for reducing emissions. And those that have signed the accord are also planning on using it. The issue with climate change, of course, and CO2 emissions is in developing countries, where the major uses of fossil fuel is going to increase greatly. And they're going to be the site of most of the emission increases. And so not only does it an opportunity in Alberta to use this technology for development of the oil sands, but because we're developing a technology here, we have the opportunity to export it to developing countries and use it there at the same time.
Congratulations, Bill, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.